Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs in MP3 files. There's 30-minute Bible videos on various subjects, and there's also a host of other related biblical material along with some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all or any of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We just want you to come, study God's Word with us, worship, and let us show your need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son who died for your sin. We have been looking at answers to biblical questions. Today, our question that we want to ask is really a continuation of something that we discussed last week when we talked about unity. We're going to talk about the other side of that coin. How does God feel about division? How does God feel about division? Let's begin by reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 3, in verse 3, we're going to also read verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not yet carnal and behave like mere men? And then we want to look at a passage in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, in verse number 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about division? If I were to ask you today, is the Lord's church divided? What would be your answer? Well, the true answer to that is yes. The church is divided. How do we know it's divided? Well, even in our own community, how many different churches, so-called, do we have in our community? We have a number of them. We have a number of different types of churches in our area. And so when you have many different churches and many different teachings and many different beliefs, then you have division. This is just the opposite of being united. Last week, we showed through the scripture that God's desire that His people would be united like the Father and the Son are, that we might be one like they are one. Well, the other side of that is, what if we are divided? Wonder if we are not one. Wonder if we are not united on the things that the Bible teaches. And there is division. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it would be dishonest to say that there is not division in the religious world. Let's give you a couple of examples in just the last year. Two large mainstream denominations have made a determination, the Lutheran Church and recently the Methodist Church, that they're going to have an amiable split. They're going to have two different camps. And what do I mean by that? Well, the more traditionalists are going to stay within the parameters of the morality that the Bible clearly teaches about things like same-sex marriages, gender identity, and homosexuality. And so they're going to, and abortion. And so they're going to be what we would call more traditionalist and more conservative. But the progressive part is going to divide, and they're going to be more liberal in their thinking and in their understanding and practice, that they're not going to make those issues causes of debate. They're not going to make those issues a cause of division. They're not going to argue about property and buildings and take it away from different brethren because they do not agree upon the answer to those questions. Well, they're not the only ones to do that. The Episcopalians did that a number of years ago when they elected their first gay bishop in their religion. Now, what's happening? What's happening is that we have division. We have division within the different organizations who all claim to be believers in God, who all claim to be united in Christ, and yet now they're going to have a split, but it's not going to be contentious, and it's not going to be in any way. They're just going to recognize one another in that they have differing understandings about the current climate in the world, about morality issues and issues that are front and center in many of the liberal and conservative discussions that we hear throughout our society today. Well, I just got one question. Did the Bible change? Did I miss something? Did you miss something? Did God's teaching on these things change? The Bible teaching has been that we are to respect the sanctity of life, that we're to understand that life begins at conception, and that we are to not murder. We're not to take the willful ending of a life. That's murder. And that's what abortion is. Abortion is not a pro-choice. It's not a woman's right. It's murder. It's the premeditated taking of a life that's there because of inconvenience, and a life because somebody doesn't want to be troubled with the child. And now, in many states, and it's just going to get worse, that you have full-term abortion. You could do it at the moment of birth. At the end of 9 months, when that baby is born, it can be euthanized and it can be put down like you would do an old dog. Has something changed in the Bible and I missed that? And in Romans chapter 1, it plainly teaches God's standard about morality concerning marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman. And the Bible says in that passage that men and men and women doing things that are unnatural and things that are contrary to God's wishes, and those that do such things, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, say can't inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible for people who live in that lifestyle and conduct themselves in that lifestyle that it's going to end in a relationship with God. It's not. Now, God hasn't changed. If there's been a change in the teaching of the Bible, I've not seen it. The biblical principles and the biblical law on the subject of abortion and the subject of homosexuality and gender identity, that has not changed. Everything the Bible has said about that, it still says. But yet you have division. You have division in all throughout the religious landscapes, where there are differing views on all of this. And all of this is causing great division among the people of God and in the religious community. That division is not pleasing to God. That division shows that we're not united on the teachings of the gospel, that we're not united on the principles and the laws and the commands and the instructions that are given in God's word. And yet 2 Timothy 3 in verse 16 to 17 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and it thoroughly equips us to every good work. And 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21 says it came not of private interpretation, but men were moved by the Holy Spirit when they revealed the mind of God, as we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. And so God's will and God's attitude and God's teaching on these subjects has been revealed. It has been made known and manifest through the pages of the New Testament. And so we have God's standard. We have God's teaching. We have God's principles. And we have God's mind that has been revealed to us, what we should think about these things, how we should practice them, and how we should teach them. But yet in the religious world, we have division. We have division because we all don't teach the same thing. We don't practice the same thing. Now we can go beyond morality, and we can go to worship. We don't. If you go into a worship of so-called churches in our community next Lord's Day, and you will see that all of them are different. They don't do things the same. They have different slants and different approaches and different ways that they worship God. And then you also look at the work they do. There is no uniformity. There's no unanimity about what work they do. They all do differing types of work, and they support different things. And then you see how churches are organized. They're not all organized the same. You have some that are organized with a very straightforward organization. Then you have others who are very much more expansive, like the Roman Catholic Church. And then you have differing on what the work of the church is, how one gets to be a member of the Lord's church. And then you have even difference on how a person is to live his life and what's his responsibility in the physical relationships that he has. All of this loudly and forcibly says it's division. We have division. We have division all throughout the religious spectrum. There is no uniformity. There is no unity. It is divided. Now, in the mega churches and in the community churches, you have many differing faiths coming under one umbrella. I've got a question. Which one of the faiths are you going to use as a standard for your practices? How are you going to determine what practice you're going to do in worship? By whose standard are you going to go by? About how to become a member of that organization, whose standard are you going to use as the means of answering that question? And then when you have the practice and the work of that organization, what standard are you going to use? Which organizations are you going to use? Those questions are formidable, and they are honorable questions, and they cannot be answered if you want to claim that there is unity. There is no unity when you have differing doctrines, different beliefs, different practices, and different teachings. And that is completely contrary to what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Eden. Division is not acceptable to God. It only is going to bring his wrath. God wants his people united, and they can only be united when they're of the same mind and the same judgment. They're walking by the same rule and the same standard. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, we can all be wrong, but we all can't be right. Someone is wrong and someone is right. And the only definitive way to know is to open your mind, open the Bible, and go and check it for yourself. Are you divided with the Scripture? Are you not united on the teaching of God's truth?